You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it impacts you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now: a shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/givetech. If fighting discrimination in AI is the next frontier in civil rights, what's the plan? From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Lily Jamali. In 2017, MIT grad student Joy Balamwini, whose family is from Ghana, shared the challenge of getting facial analysis software to notice her.
Hi, camera. Can you see my face? You can see her face. What about my face?
It couldn't detect her until she put on a white mask. The reason, she argued, algorithmic bias. Fighting it is one goal of the executive order on AI unveiled yesterday by the Biden administration. Balamwini, author of the new book Unmasking AI, says the executive order is a step in the right direction.
This EO sets out the framework for what a standard should look like, what guidelines should look like. But really, we're going to need to look at the implementation across a number of different agencies and offices. And so with what's been laid out, it's quite comprehensive, which is great to see because we need a full press approach given the scope of AI. It's not a siloed kind of conversation, nor would it take a siloed set of provisions.
And how do you get that right implementation if you are the Biden administration?
I think part of it is continuing what they have been doing in terms of making sure that you have a wide range of stakeholders involved in setting the frameworks and the guidelines and standards. So in the past, one thing we've had to be really careful about is corporate capture. So if you only have the tech companies advising on what legislation should be and what regulation should be, it's not too surprising that it would favor the company. So I think it's critical to continue to include the voices of civil rights organizations. It's critical also to include youth voices. And this is an area that I think could be expanded.
And are there any areas where this executive order falls short?
Where I certainly think the executive order could be strengthened is around biometric protections. And so a lot of my work focuses on bias in facial recognition technology. Some of my earlier research showed gender bias, skin type bias, mapping to racial bias in AI systems coming from Amazon, Microsoft, IBM, and a number of other companies. And my concern is with biometric rights, we could be moving toward greater government adoption of these tools without having alternatives in place. A few years ago, I wrote about the IRS adopting a third-party vendor without public scrutiny as a way of accessing basic tax services. And so I would want to see biometric protections put in place at the federal level so that you are not required to submit your face data to access government services, and that the alternatives provided, whether it's going to a local post office or something else, are accessible and convenient so that it's truly a real alternative.
So if I'm not mistaken, this is something you've also flagged in the context of the TSA as well. Tell me about that.
Yes. So we know that the TSA is planning on expanding facial recognition scans to over 400 airports. They have been piloting it in a couple dozen so far. And at the Algorithmic Justice League over the summer, we launched a campaign for travelers to share their experiences if they saw any signage, if they knew they had the right to opt out. And what we were seeing appears to be coerced consent or uninformed consent at best, where people don't even know they have the right to opt out. And so what we were seeing with reports coming in from the Algorithmic Justice League are the stated practices you might read on the TSA website, clear and visible signage, et cetera, versus people's lived experiences were not matching up. And so I think it's really important people have a clear choice when it comes to if their biometric data is used.
We'll be right back with more on the Biden administration's new executive order on AI with computer scientist Joy Balamwini. You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it impacts you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now, a shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/givetech.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's a speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Marketplace Tech. I'm Lily Jamali. We're back with Joy Balamwini. She's the founder of the Algorithmic Justice League and author of the book Unmasking AI, out today. She says the government should do more to protect the creative rights of Americans in the age of artificial intelligence.
As a new member of the Authors Guild and also the National Association of Voice Actors, having just written a book and also recorded the audio book for it, I've been looking more at the creative economy and the impact of generative AI on many of these areas. And so I do think it's important when it comes to creative rights that, first of all, there's consent for the use of copyrighted data, which we haven't seen in the development of so many systems, that there is compensation, that there is control whether or not you want to be in it in the first place, and also where there is credit. And I definitely think many artists, creatives, writers have not been credited for their contributions to AI. And in fact, it would not make sense to credit them if their copyrighted data was taken without permission. And so that's those four C's for creative rights, I certainly would want to see strengthened with future actions from the administration.
I want to get your reaction to something from NetChoice, which is a trade association that includes a lot of big tech platforms. Their response to this is they're calling this executive order an AI red tape wish list. They say it will stifle new companies and competitors from entering the marketplace and significantly expand the power of the federal government over American innovation. What do you think when you hear that kind of language, the red tape wish list specifically?
I understand that industry doesn't want to be regulated, and it's easier to position accountability as being anti-innovation, which is not. It reminds me of when cars were introduced, right? The car companies, they didn't want seatbelts or licenses or traffic lights. But eventually, because people were pushing for safety, those guardrails were put in place. And it didn't stop innovation, right? But it did say we can innovate within parameters that minimize risk and minimize harms. And that is the job of the government, to do what industry is not incentivized to do.
And does this executive order give Congress something to work with long term?
Absolutely. I do think that process will be long and ongoing, but oftentimes you hear, how do you move from principles to practice? And we're getting a roadmap here.
That was Joy Bellamwini, author of Unmasking AI. It's a lot easier to believe algorithmic bias is real when you see it for yourself. To that end, we've linked to Joy Bellamwini's demo from her 2017 TED Talk, which we mentioned at the top of the show. It's on our website, marketplacetech.org. Bellamwini says preventing harm from algorithmic discrimination is critical, but so is redress for harms that people have already suffered. We've linked to a white paper from the UC Berkeley Center for Long-Term Cybersecurity, which notes there aren't extensive mechanisms in place now to do this. Bellamwini says having systems in place to keep track of such incidents would help. Housing discrimination fueled by AI against protected groups is just one real-world example. Monday's executive order directs the Department of Housing and Urban Development to draft guidance to fight that in tenant screenings, for example, within 180 days. Jesus Alvarado produced this episode. I'm Lily Jamali, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.